जन्म मानव कले के दया न करी फिर मानव कहलाने से क्या फायदा। कभी प्यासे को पानी पिलाया नहीं बाद अमृत पिलाने से क्या फायदा। मैंने दान किया मैंने जप तप किया दान करते हुए ये ख्याल आ गया। ओ मैंने दान किया मैंने जप तप किया दान करते हुए ये ख्याल आ गया। कभी भूखे को भोजन खिलाया नहीं दान लाखों का करने से क्या फायदा। कभी प्यासे को पानी पिलाया नहीं बाद अमृत पिलाने से क्या फायदा। गंगा नहाने हरिद्वार काशी गया गंगा नहाते ही मन ने ख्याल आ गया। ओ गंगा नहाने हरिद्वार काशी गया गंगा नहाते ही मन ने ख्याल आ गया। तन को धोया मगर मन को धोया नहीं फिर गंगा नहाने से क्या फायदा। कभी प्यासे को पानी पिलाया नहीं बाद अमृत पिलाने से क्या फायदा। मैंने वेद पढ़े मैंने शास्त्र पढ़ते हुए ये ख्याल आ गया। मैंने वेद पढ़े मैंने शास्त्र पढ़ते हुए ये ख्याल आ गया। मैंने ज्ञान किसी को बांटा नहीं फिर ज्ञानी कहलाने से क्या फायदा। कभी प्यासे को पानी पिलाया नहीं बाद अमृत पिलाने से क्या फायदा। माता पिता के ही चरणों में चारों धाम है आजा यही मुक्ति का धाम है। मात पिता के ही चरणों में चारों धाम है। आजा आजा ये ही मुक्ति का धाम है। पिता माता की सेवा ही नहीं फिर तीर्थों में जाने से क्या फायदा। कभी प्यासे को पानी पिलाया नहीं बाद अमृत पिलाने से क्या फायदा। कभी गिरते हुए को उठाया नहीं बाद आंसू बहाने से क्या फायदा।
Just listen to a beautiful bhajan about applications of what it is that you learn. And once you aspire to yoga and the science, it really does make you a better human being. And so the application of this Brahma Vidya is then finally to see that which is Brahm in everyone around you and serve them. But anyway, we're going to abstract from a conversation, from a discussion between Sri Paramhanans Yoganand and his Guru Sri Yukteswar. Sri Yukteswar says, all parts of creation are linked together and interchange their influences. The balanced rhythm of the universe is rooted in reciprocity. Man in his human aspect has to combat two sets of forces. First, the tumults within his being caused by the mixture of earth, water, fire, air, and so on. Second is the outer disintegrating powers of nature. So long as man struggles with his mortality, he is affected by the myriad of mutations of heaven and earth. A child is born on that day and hour at which the celestial rays are in mathematical harmony with his individual karma. So then we bring in the Siddhanta of karma. The message of the boldly blazoned across the heavens at the moment of birth is not meant to emphasize fate, the result of past good and evil, but to arouse man's will to escape from his universal thraldom. What he has done, what he can undo. None other than himself is the instigator of the causes of whatever effects are now prevalent in his life. He can overcome any limitation, however, because he created it by his own actions in the first place. And he possesses the spiritual resources that are not subject to planetary pressure or superstitions. Man is a soul. Man has a body. Man is not a body that has a soul. When he properly places his sense of identity with his spirit soul, he leaves behind all compulsive patterns. So long as he remains confused, however, in his ordinary state of spiritual amnesia with bodily identification, he will only know and understand environmental law. However, God, the Supreme Being, is harmony. The devotee who attunes himself will never perform any actions amiss or outside his wills. His activities will be correctly and naturally timed to accord with the divine law. After deep prayer and meditation, he is in touch with his divine consciousness. There is no greater power than that inward protection. And this is exactly what we're going to discuss at 11 o'clock, one of the practical applications. So join us for that discussion at 11 o'clock.
Thank you. Thank you.
it's story time. We're going to tell a little story from Osho Dara. And the background is to the story is that Osho describes that you have to drop into meditation. You don't have to reach somewhere. You have to allow meditation to occur. And you also have to have patience. There is a science to it, and it requires patience. So the story goes, a monk was passing in the forest. Suddenly, he became aware that a tiger is following him, so he starts running. But his running is of a Zen type. He's not in a hurry. He's not mad. His running is smooth, harmonious, and he enjoys it. And the monk thinks in the mind, if the tiger is enjoying it, then why not I? Then he comes near a precipice. Just to escape from the tiger, he hangs onto the branch of a tree. And then he looks down. What he sees there surprises him. A lion is standing there in the valley, with his mouth turned up, waiting for him. So the tiger has come. He's standing just near the tree on the hilltop, and the monk is hanging just in between, just from a branch, and the lion is waiting for him deep down below in the valley. He starts laughing. Then he looks more closely. Two mice are gnawing through the branch. They're cutting through the branch with their teeth. One of the mice is white, one is black. The monk starts laughing very loudly. He says, this is life, day and night, white and black mice. And wherever I go, death is waiting. This is indeed life. And it is said that he achieves the first glimpse of enlightenment. This is life. Nothing to worry about. This is how things go. Wherever you go, death is waiting. And even if you don't go anywhere, day and night are cutting your life. So he starts laughing. Then he looks around because now it is fixed. Now there is no worry. Death is certain. Why the worry? Only in uncertainty is there worry. When everything is certain, there is no worry. Now it has become a destiny. So he looks for how to enjoy these last few moments. He becomes aware that just by the side of the branch are some strawberries. So he picks a few strawberries and eats them. They are the best of his life. He enjoys them. And it is said he becomes enlightened in that moment. He has become a Buddha because death is so near. And even then, he's not in any hurry. He can enjoy a strawberry. It is sweet. The taste of how sweet it is. He thanks existence. He thanks everything around him. It is said that in that moment, everything disappears. The tiger, the lion, the branch, and even he himself disappears. He has just become the cosmos. And this, my friends, is the science of yoga, to become that which is cosmos. The clock is always ticking, night and day, cut away at our life. The human form that we have attained allows us to discriminate and to think. What is the purpose of life? And the purpose of life is indeed to reach God realization, to become one with cosmos, and then the fears will disappear.
Devaki Nandana Sundar Venugopala. देव की नंदन सुंदर वेणु गोपाला,
देव की नंदन सुंदर वेणु गोपाला,
राधे 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 गोपाला,
गोपाला गोपाला श्याम गोपाला,
गोपाला गोपाला श्याम
Vanakkam Suprabhatam. This portion of the radio program is brought to you in part by Sri Meenakshi Temple. Sri Meenakshi Temple is located in Pearland, a Houston suburb near Hobby Airport. You're all invited to visit the temple. Ashtotra Archana can be performed on a walk-in basis. You can also sponsor the puja online at www.emeenakshi.org. You can refer to Temple Times News Magazine of what is happening at Sri Meenakshi Temple. You can listen to this program as well as you can call the temple 281-489-0358 as to the upcoming events at Sri Meenakshi Temple, which we also bring you today. Today, with Venkata Ekadashi, Venkateshwara Abhishekam is happening as we speak at Sri Meenakshi Temple. And also Pradosham, Nandi and Shiva Abhishekam, and also on the Pournami happens at 6:30 p.m. Satyanarayana Puja. Sankatahara Chaturthi and Ganapati Homam and Abhishekam happens at Sri Meenakshi Temple on Tuesday, and Shravanam is also the nakshatra on which there is Venkateshwara Abhishekam happening at Sri Meenakshi Temple. Meenakshi Temple recites these suktas or chanting of prayers which invokes the particular type of God. Those are the suktas from the Rig Veda and the yologies through the which the deities are invoked. And it is also incantations that containing brilliant thoughts which our ancient sages arrived after their minute observations, contemplation and analysis of the natural phenomena they came across. Each and every phenomena of nature was a matter of contemplation for the sages. They marveled in orderly way which Mother Nature functions, and the Rig Veda has got beautiful chants called the Suktas. Actually, there are about 102 suktas, and they are also given different names to it. Devi Sukta, Hiranyagarbha, Medha, Nadi Stuti, Narayana Sukta. But the most famous of them is the Purusha Sukta and the Sri Sukta. We are now going to bring you a chanting of the Bhagya Sukta. What exactly is Bhagya Sukta? Soon after you hear this, I will be explaining to you, because Bhagya Suktam, when chanted, brings you good luck and good fortunes. Let us listen to this chant. Yes, what you have been listening is the Bhagya Suktam. Bhagya Suktam is a prayer to God of wealth and fortune, and he is the son of Aditi, supporter and bestower of bliss. Though Bhaga is not a Puranic god, he has contributed to the names of the words Bhagavan. Bhagya is always Bhoga. Since Sanskrit, along with its meaning, it is also said that it brings good fortune. And as we invoke the fire god Agni, Indra, sun god, the rain god Varuna, Ashwini Kumaras, we also invoke Bhaga, the god of fortune. And it is said that in most of the prayers, it sounds very monotonous, and then it is also set in certain metric, and also the saying of the words, you have to learn proper Sanskrit. Down the road, what happened? Everyone was chanting this on an everyday basis. But once we lost it, it is only said only in some of the temples of India that they still chant these Vedic Rudras and the Vedas on a very regular basis. And normally we always get scared of what is going on. How do we know this? How do we learn it? Actually, by repetition of all these mantras, we can get into this kind of a vibrations that we create, which also gives us that the feedback comes back from the different devatas whom we invoke. And that is said in this particular Bhaga. In the morning, we make as our own Bhaga, who is the son of Aditi and the great supporter. And therefore, even the gods who appear out to be great are making Bhaga for us. This is the chanting of the mantra, Bhaga Parendhar Bhaga Satyoradho Bhage Mam Dhiya Maudhava Madhanada Bhago Prano Janayagho Bir Ashvai Bhaga Nibhir Vantasayama. This is how they chant it, but this has got a direct meaning also. It is not just the words put together. It says, O Bhaga, cross our way. O Bhaga, give us the true gifts. Continue giving your true gifts. Add us cows, horses, so that we bestow on us both like ordinary men and we can live like kings. This is what they are invoking. These Sanskrit words have profound meaning in them. And it also says, Bhaga, the one who gives me wealth, luck, O gods, make us lucky. We pray with all our mind so that you be our leader and lead us into wealth. This is how they have been. We worship at dawn. We make them come to the pure palace with strong horses leading the chariot and turn towards the essence of all riches. So this is the prayer that we are listening to. Let us go back to the prayers and listen more to this chanting.
Deva na manne vichara. are listening to the Bhagya Suktam, which is in the Rig Veda, the scriptures that talk about the slokas or the mantras that are chanted for good luck. What is happening at Sri Meenakshi Temple, 23rd Saturday will be Satya Narayana Puja at 6:30 p.m. 25th Shankatahara Chaturthi and Ganapati Homam and Abhishekam, Sravanam Sri Venkateshwara Abhishekam. Sri Meenakshi Temple requests students who would like to register for the fall 2013-2014 BHS class. You can go to www.emeenakshi.org, click on MTS VHS information link and select the class you want to register, and you can also pay fees on the website, and you will also receive the receipt in email. And returning students, you can log into the system with your email address and your password, and we all hope that you will be able to register, because this is a very highly popular heritage class that happens at Sri Meenakshi Temple. We have over almost 200 students come and join in these classes, and you can also register for the courses you wish to and add the students if you are registering for multiple students. And you can also access www.emeenakshi.org. You can access the Temple Times News magazine both for the second quarter of 2013 as well as the third quarter has also been published in our website. Let me now talk to you about another sukta. This is called the Sri Suktam. Sri Suktam is also like the Bhagya Suktam, which is a Vedic, this one is a Vedic shloka addressed to Goddess Mahalakshmi, Goddess of Wealth, Prosperity and Fertility. This is a very more popular Sri Suktam. It's been chanted in most of the temples, especially in the Sannidhi where Mahalakshmi has been Pratishtha, and as well as Lakshmi, the consort, eternal consort of Lord Narayana. It is said when you worship Mahalakshmi, Lord Narayana automatically follows and comes. That is what, you know, when you always do puja for Lakshmi, Lord Narayana also is there and you pray for both of them. The description in the Sri Sukta where she has been lauded in golden words in glorious terms. Just as no difference between the power holder and the power, she is the presiding deity of all divine manifestation. Sri Sukta is one of the Pancha Suktams, which is the Purusha Suktam, Vishnu Suktam, Sri Suktam, Bhu Suktam and Neela Suktam. It is recited to bring bliss into the family. For those who recite this with devout intent and discipline, it is widely believed that recitation of this powerful shlokam bestows unerring power unto the character and personality of those who recite it and to their general being. Sri Suktam is a never failing mantra to provoke prosperity, goodness, health, wealth and well-being of a person as well as the whole family. Well, what else do you need when the whole family itself is very happy? And these there are Sri Suktam which will also render getting married for the young girls to get good grooms, leading a happy life and also be excellent in your studies and also getting a good progeny. Here we are bringing you this stotram, Sri Suktam.
Purusha Naham Ashwa Purva Prat
That was a beautiful recitation of the Sri Suktam,
which bestows the blessings of Goddess Mahalakshmi. It's kind of, it's also in the sacred knowledge in the scriptures of Hinduism. Shruti is what is heard or revealed by the rishis. Most holy symbols, hymns and mantras are put together in the four collections called the Rig, Sama, Yajur and Atharva Vedas. Rig Veda is the Veda in the form of Suktis, which means beautiful statements. The collection of the beautiful composed incantations itself is a Sukta. Sukta is also synonymous with Richas. Rit is incantation containing praises and Veda means knowledge. Suktas are enchanted Vedic hymns and they praise different forms of God and goddesses which are known as Suktams, and the Sri Suktam is one of the Pancha Suktas, such as the Purusha Suktam, Narayana Suktam, and as I said, Bhu Suktam and Neela Suktam are all addressed to Goddess Lakshmi. And let me now bring you one more Suktam today, which will be the Purusha Suktam, which is in praise of Lord Narayana.
Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Hari Om Tacham Yora Vruni Mahe Gatum Yajnaya Gatum Yajnapadaye Daivi Swastirastunaha Swastir Manushebhyaha Udhvam Jigatu Bheshajam Semno Astut Vipare Sem Chatushpade Om Sham.
And I am sorry about this. We are continuing the Purusha Suktam.
Apunaha tato vesvam vyakramate sashana nashane abhi tasma virada jayata virajo adhipurushaha sajato atyarichyata paschat bhumi matho puraha yat purushena havishaha Deva yajnyamatan vata vasanto asya sidajyam grishma idma sharad bhavihi sapta asya samparithayaha tres sapta samidha kritaha सेवायद्यज्ञं तन्मानाः अबध्नन् पुरुषं पशुं तं यज्ञं बर्हिषि प्रोक्षन् पुरुषं जातमग्रतः तेन देवा अयजन्त साध्या ऋषयश्च ये तस्माद्यज्ञात् सर्वभूतः संहृतं वृषदार्ज्यम् पशुग्रस्तागश्चक्रे वायव्यान् आरण्यान् ग्राम्याश्च ये तस्माद्यज्ञात् सर्वभूतः ऋचः सामानि जज्ञिरे छन्दागुंसि जज्ञिरे तस्मात् यजुस्तस्मादजायत तस्मादश्वा अजायन्त एके चोभयादतः गावो हजज्ञिरे तस्मात् तस्माज्जाता अजावयः यत्पुरुषं व्यदधुः प्रतिभा व्यकल्पयन् मुखं किमस्य कौ बाहू का भूरोपादावुच्येते ब्राह्मणोऽस्य मुखमासीत् बाहूराधन्यकृतः ऊरो तदस्य यद्वैश्यः पद्यागुं शूद्रो अजायत चन्द्रमा मनसो जातः चक्षोः सूर्यो अजायत मुखादिन्द्रश्चाग्निश्च प्राणाद्वायुरजायत.
You are listening to Sri, the recitation of Purusha Sukta. Purusha Sukta is the hymn from the Rig Veda dedicated to the Purusha, which is the cosmic being. The seer of this is Rishi Narayana, and the Sukta can evoke God's experience in the seeker. And it has 16 verses and 15 of them in the Anushtup Chanda, which is the lines in which it is choreographed. And the final one is in the Trishuddha Vita. The version of the Suktam consists 24 verses with first 18 mantras designated to Purva Narayana and later to Uttara Narayana. It gives a description of the spiritual unity of the universe, and it also presents the nature of the Purusha. One very interesting fact I would like to point out here, some portions of the Purusha Suktam is being kind of taught even in regular schools here in the United States of America. My son, when he was in middle school, his history teacher was teaching a little bit of all the religions, and when it came to Hinduism, they were talking about this Mahapurusha, and especially the part in which how creation was made and how the division of made according to the work that is being rendered. So that was the varnas that was in the description of this Purusha Sukta, which were interpreted by many people in many different ways, and it totally lost its original meaning. So fortunately, my son's teacher called me to the class because she didn't understand it. She was born here in America. She had absolutely no kind of a idea as to what Hinduism is at all. And she was trying to teach the class and she couldn't understand, and she was good enough to call me to find out. I had to go learn it from the temple priest, Sri Rajaratna Bhattar at Sri Meenakshi Temple, who gave me the exact significance. In the verses 5 and 15, the creation myth of Rig Veda, creation is described with the origination of the Virata Purusha, the cosmic body of the Virata Purusha. Its intelligence manifests himself appearance of diversity. In the verses, it is held that Purusha, through sacrifice of himself, brought forth the birds, the animals, the forest-dwelling animals, the domestic animals, the three Vedas. From his mouth, arms, thighs and feet, the four Varnas are born. The moon, also associated with the mind, takes birth from the Purusha's mind. The sun from his eyes,
Agni and Indra descend from his mouth, and from his vital breath, air is born. The firmament comes from the navel, the heavens from the head, earth from his feet, and quarters from the space from his ears. Through this creation myth, underlying the unity of human, cosmic and divine realities are espoused. For all seen arising out of the same original reality is the Purusha. That is what was little bit confusing to many people, and people start relating it that of the different castes or the jatis that we have in Hindus and say we are divided. We are not. We are all from the same Purusha that we talk about, and that is all in our Vedic chant that we regard as our holy, holy scriptures, and it is nothing but the Vedas from which Hinduism comes through, from Hinduism flourishes, and Hinduism being what it is today is all from our basic essence of the Vedas that teach us. Thank you for joining us in today's program presented by Sri Meenakshi Temple. We are going to still listen to these chants. Just listening to them will give you very good vibrations as well as good things happening to you all the time with the blessings of Goddess Meenakshi and Sundareshwara. We will be back next Sunday bringing you the segment presented by Sri Meenakshi Temple. Meanwhile, do visit our temple in Pearland, as well as you can visit our website to sponsor the puja and call the temple at
281-489-0358. Padhyam bhomertishasrotrat tatha lokagun akalpayan vedah metam purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasastu pale sarvani rupani vijitya dhirah namani kritva bhivadanayadaste Hata purastatya muda jahala Shatra pravidvan pradishashtatasraha Tamevam vidvan avrita iya bhavati Nanya pankha ayanaya vidyate Yajnena yajnamayadanta devaha Tani dharmani prathamanyasan Te anakam mahimanas satante yatra purve sadhyasanti devaha adhyasambhuta prithuvyairasacha vishvakarmanas samavartatabhi tasyatvashta vidadhat rupameti tatpurushasya vishvamajanamadve Vedahametam purusham mahantam Aditya varnam tamasat parastat
Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism. It is now time for Quest of Hinduism. This is an interaction between you and us. Today's topic is meditation, science, and spirituality. You can call us, text us with your questions, comments, or suggestions at 832-282-5041. So we're going to set a little foundation first. We're going to have a very special guest joining us shortly, but we're going to set a couple of foundations first. We're going to read a little story from Osho Dara. It's a little long, but it illustrates an important point. Narad is a messenger between earth and heaven who was going to heaven. He goes up and down, bringing messages from above and taking messages from below. He passed by a very old monk sitting under a tree with his mala, his beads, chanting the name of Ram. The old man looked at Narad and says, "Where are you going? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to see God? Ask him, how much more do I have to wait? Remind him, I have been sitting here under this tree doing meditation and mala jap for three lives. Everything that can be done, I have done. However, there's a limit to everything." What is wrong with this statement? The problem is that in the old monk's question lies a demand, an expectation, an impatience. So Narad says, "I'm going and I will ask God for you." And just by the side of an old monk, further up, under another tree, was a young man. He was dancing and singing the name of God. Narad asked the young man, "I'm also going. I'm also going to see God. Would you like for me to ask him the same question?" But the young man was jumping for joy, chanting God's name, and in ecstasy didn't hear Narad. He didn't even answer. A few days later, Narad returns. He says, "I asked God." And he tells the monk, "Hey monk, I asked God." God started laughing and he says, "At least three lives more." So the old monk throws down his mala and says, "This is injustice. And whoever says God is just is absolutely wrong." Then Narad continues to the young man who was just further up the road, dancing under another tree. And Narad tells the man, "Even though you have not asked, I asked on your behalf, but I'm afraid to tell you now because the old man is angry. However, I will tell you." But the young man was still dancing and he was not interested. He continued dancing in his own ecstasy, doing what he needs to do, and at the same time chanting the name of God. So Narad tells him, "God, I asked God to tell me what to tell Narad. I mean, what to tell the young man." So Narad says that God says that the young man should count the leaves of the tree under which he's dancing, and as many leaves as there are on the tree, he must have to be born again before he attains freedom or liberation. So the young man finally stopped dancing, he listened, and he went into ecstasy. He laughed, he cried, he jumped, he celebrated, and he said, "So soon? Because the entire earth is full of trees, millions and millions and millions upon millions of trees and forests. And just the leaves of this one tree? That soon? God has infinite compassion. I am not worthy of it." As soon as he said that, he attained liberation. He was enlightened. He became the Buddha. So the moral of the story here is meditation requires a change of attitude. And it is a mental state. It is not something physical. It is far more subtle. It is far more sublime. We discussed earlier the conversation that Sri Paramhansa Yogananda had with his guru master, which is Sri Yukteswar, in which Sri Yukteswar ji said, "All parts of creation are linked together and interchange their influences. So as long as a man struggles, he's affected by the mutations all around him. He's subject to the laws of nature as long as he continues to struggle and identify himself with the body." So let's read from this book about what the Vedas say. So the Vedas are the Rig, the Sam, the Yajur, and Atharva. The sacred texts, the soul nature, the sole purpose of these texts is to expound on the nature of Brahma, the creator, whose expression in the individual man is termed Atman. The verb root of Brahma is Bri, to expand, conveying the Vedic concept of the divine power of spontaneous growth, of bursting forth into creative activity. The cosmos, like a spider's web, is said to evolve out of his being. The conscious fusion of the Atma with Brahma may be said to be the whole import of the Vedas. The Vedanta summaries in the Vedas have inspired many great Western thinkers. However, in the immense literature of India, the Vedas the root vid to know, are the only texts to which no author is ascribed. They have come down from ancient times and have changed or reclothed in language. However, the root is the same. Divinely revealed from age to age by the rishis or the seers, the Vedas are said to possess nityatva, timeless finality. The Vedas were a revelation by sound, directly heard shruti by the rishis. It is essentially a literature of chant and recitation. But the point here is that the Vedas, the purpose is to expand. To expand into what? And in the earlier conversation we saw in the